Hi, friends, and welcome to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today, I'm joined by two distinguished media professionals. They are Dr. Bill Davey, who has been at UL for 27 years. He has a degree in journalism from the University of Texas. That's his PhD. And then the University of Missouri for his master's degree. And Dr. Philip Madison, also joining us from the UL Department of Communication. He is in his third year, and he got his mass communication degree from LSU and then his master's from Texas Tech. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's good to be here, Pearson.
Thanks.
We are here today to talk about something that's been evolving gradually but has really recently reached a boiler pitch with the publishing of a widely read story in The New Yorker by Jane Mayer suggesting that the connection between Fox and President Trump is beyond anything in anyone's experience. So I'm going to just ask you to start off with Bill. What do you think? What is the relationship between Fox News and Donald Trump? And is this a normal relationship for a president and a news channel?
It is an extraordinary relationship. If we can rely on what our eyes see and our ears detect, it's the closest any president has been with a corporate entity as far as using it as a mouthpiece for his policies and his positions. When you consider the fact that he's done 44 interviews with Fox News and only 10 with ABC, CBS, and NBC, you get sort of a feeling for how close that partnership is, to the extent that he even ranks their own journalist in terms of a 10-point scale, with the friendliest getting a 12 and the more traditional journalists scoring around a 6.
So you said that so Donald Trump, someone reported, I forget exactly where, reported that he has a friendliness, a score that he assigns to Fox journalists. Where does Sean Hannity fit on that, by the way?
A family member. He, of course, is the godfather to Bill Shine, who was the co-president of Fox News, godfather to Bill Shine's children. And Bill Shine went from being Office of Communications Director for President Trump to now working on his campaign. I think the real relationship is between Donald Trump and Rupert Murdoch, to be honest with you. Both have some remarkable things in common as far as their life's journey, with the gift of successful fathers leading them on their way. In the case of Rupert Murdoch, he inherited 21 newspapers in Australia and built an international empire of journalism. And in the case of Donald Trump, of course, his father was into real estate and gave him quite an ample allowance. And from that, he became a multi-billionaire, as we all know.
Yeah, that allowance was slightly more than I got when I was a kid. It was reported that Donald Trump was getting $200,000 a year as a three-year-old due to his father, including him. I have to say my parents are pikers, based by that scale. Philip, this relationship between Fox News and Donald Trump, is this normal?
I don't think this is normal. I'm a little bit less familiar with a lot of the players at Fox, but I spend a lot of time looking at media kind of on the outskirts, like American Family Radio, for example, things like InfoWars and other non-mainstream outlets. But what I'm seeing going on is this kind of a closed ecosystem between the White House and Fox News. It's almost like the definition of an echo chamber. And what's happening is it's creating this big Lego box. If we might call it a Lego box of content. It's like each Lego represents like a piece of media content. Most of those Legos are kind of reddish in color. But what's happening is they're trickling down to other parts of the media ecosystem, and people are using it as the basis of a lot of shows. People are taking different Fox News clips and using them to kind of compound their commentary. And a lot of times this may start out as kind of like biased commentary built on top of Fox News reports, but sometimes it turns into hate watching. You see things like the Young Turks and various other kind of leftish media outlets looking at Fox News and saying, "Hey, can you believe these idiots?" And it turns into this sort of hate watching process, which is probably just as polarizing as the bias to begin with.
Well, you almost suggest, and I think we're going to get this later in our show, I hope, that this is maybe a new business model. So you have maybe what I'm hearing from you, your suggestion is that Fox News and is creating these little media bits like Lego bits that are then there's this group of organizations, fringy news organizations that use those bits and spin them off and build stories on that. And there's this kind of creation of the Fox Lego universe that all adds up to this something that's new in a way, in the same way that Legos were kind of new when they came along. You know, they certainly built on Tinker Toys and some of the Lincoln Logs, right? But Legos kind of revolutionized it. And are we at the cusp of a revolution here, or
I don't know, in media and politics? I don't know the answer to that, but that's an excellent analogy about Legos building on Tinker Toys.
I tend to think that we're in a sort of an aberrational moment in time that is really a product of this remarkable confluence of personalities that are bigger than life, like Roger Ailes, who started in Nixon's Office of Communications and involved people like Rupert Murdoch and Donald Trump. And they've all found common ground in terms of exciting their base, and they go from dumpster fire to dumpster fire, I guess is what we're thinking of in the Lego universe. They create these conflicts and these violations of expected norms just so everyone's watching that part of their show, and I worry about the part that most of us are not really paying that much attention to, where the real change is taking place. For example, the trade war with China, which thrills economists, but isn't really as nearly sellable or watchable as Donald Trump's latest rally in El Paso or something like that.
Early on, Bill, you said that you identified it was an extraordinary relationship, you said, between Donald Trump and this corporate entity. And by that, you mean Fox. The Jane Mayer article said that Fox generates about $2.7 billion a year. So I have to wonder, is this a model that's producing money? To what extent is money driving this? And can this be seen as a very, very successful business model? We talked about how it's like Lego, right, to some extent. But it's creating money for people. It's creating money for certainly Fox News. It's creating money for 21st Century Fox, the parent corporation, for Rupert Murdoch, for all these people. Is this part of what's driving this?
Of course. And I think it comes right out of the reality show playbook that made Donald Trump something larger than a real estate mogul in New York with failed casinos and a university that collapsed. The fact that he knows how to violate accepted norms and create a sort of a firestorm of controversy is exactly what he's been using. And Fox News has played upon that model, generating outrage, whether it's a Hillary Clinton story that somehow implies that she's been selling uranium to the Russians, that the mainstream media looks at as really fake news, or any one of the multiple controversies that he's famous for, whether it's Kanye West in the Oval Office, whatever is his latest surprising and completely violative moment is what is driving his ratings. And it has been symbiotic in the sense that even mainstream media benefited from his catnip to the viewers and listeners.
Okay, well, let's unravel. Let's make sure that I have what you're saying here. So, Fox has hit on this formula, which is kind of entertainment, and we're building on the reality TV shows and everything. And then certainly outrage, prompting outrage, shocking revelations, the latest thing, clickbait, which is, part of what some people have said the Trump presidency is about. You got to watch. You got to keep watching it every day because something's going to happen. So what happens is that lots and lots of people watch, and those lots and lots of people watching turn into money for advertisers and for ratings and the things that add to the bottom line. So it's kind of a profit model based on based on watch this and we'll make money. So it seems to be pretty successful.
It does. The only question that comes to mind is, are we normalizing behavior and incivility? As even the Morning Edition program was carrying a piece about how uncivility is now the norm and actually shouldn't be deplored, that it belongs to old white males who promulgated it during the 19th century. And
did I mishear you? Is it incivility is the norm or civility is the norm?
Incivility.
Incivility. Okay, good.
Incivility is the new norm.
Yeah.
As we saw, everything from Gayle King's interview to the Kavanaugh hearings, the idea that you're going to quietly and this with some decorum discuss issues seems to be passé.
Philip?
I wonder what some of the long-term effects of living outrage day in and day out are going to be, like on the human body.
It's
like
cortisol.
It's like we didn't have this much access to information, and most of the information we had access to was not jacked up to generate attention and viewers. And there's definitely a psychophysiological response whenever we listen to things that we don't like to hear. For example, American Family Radio, who frequently beats up on immigrants and transgendered and other people in society that don't have enough of a voice to defend themselves. And so I'm wondering, when I'm sitting in my car, an hour and a half a day, getting my buttons pushed by this radio, what's happening? Am I developing an addiction to this type of media? Am I going to have cardiovascular problems from my increased blood pressure? Am I going to leave sweat stains in my shirts? All these types of things.
Well, it's not an unworthy question.
And can you sue somebody about that? I mean, we haven't really seen that yet, but is it possible that you could go and make a legal case that someone has raised your blood pressure to the point where it's dangerous for you and you've incurred serious health?
Like the tobacco settlements type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what makes this unusual is you earlier were talking to us about the history of other presidencies, and I did find that Lincoln became very close to a guy named John Forney, who ran a couple of newspapers in Washington, D.C. and in Philadelphia, and they relied on each other. Lincoln wanted his Washington newspapers to be sure to reflect his opinion about the Civil War, and after a time, John Forney got a job in the Senate thanks to President Lincoln's patronage. So, but that was an unusual time. The nation was in crisis. There was a true Civil War. What we have now are reality show narratives, whether it's palling around with Putin or with the North Korean dictator.
Well, that's a very interesting point about Lincoln, and it leads back. I mean, we're all familiar with the yellow press and the partisan press, and I grew up reading a newspaper called the Press Democrat, a relic of the partisan kind of focus of newspapers. So it's kind of been done in the past, but we've maybe had a golden age of journalism where standards of what constituted news and weighing those kinds of things have held sway. And I guess what's happened now, generally speaking, is we may be heading in the other direction at this point. We are talking this morning to Dr. Bill Davian, Dr. Philip Madison, about some recent changes in the media with the relationship between Fox News and Donald Trump and what those mean for our country. We'll talk some more after these messages.
KRVS listeners are proud of their communities, schools, businesses, and homes. They care about where they live and improving their lives. Are these listeners your customers? They should be. Sponsor programming on KRVS. Call 337-482-1437.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. And is this news?
I didn't always want to go to the senior center because I have arthritis and my arthritis began to hurt. And I didn't want to go there and play bridge. It was much more fun to go shoplifting.
Bringing you all the parts of the world that don't fit into the daily news programs. Go out of your way for it. This American Life from Public Radio International.
7 p.m. Wednesdays on KRVS.
Hello and welcome back to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today we're chatting with Dr. Bill Davey and Dr. Philip Madison, both of the UL Communications Department, about the relationship between Fox News and Donald Trump, which has come into closer focus with the publication of an article by Jane Mayer in the New Yorker magazine. One of the most remarked points about the relationship between Donald Trump and Fox News are the number of people who seem to flow back and forth between Fox and the Trump administration. That includes, and this is a short list, John Bolton, Heather Nauert, Mercedes Schlepp, K.T. McFarland, Scott Brown, Richard Grenell, Georgette Mosbacher, Anthony Scaramucci, you know, and then perhaps most famously in recent terms, Bill Shein. So what are we to make of that? What are the ramifications of the president having such a pool of talent, if I can call it that, coming over and staffing the White House?
Well, obviously it makes the News Corporation, the parent company of Fox, extraordinarily powerful and influential. And, of course, we know because of the recent controversy involving Bill Shein, who was for a time getting a paycheck from both Fox News as a part of his $15 million severance package and a U.S. government paycheck, that you would have what most ethicists and perhaps even lawyers consider to be a conflict of interest. Now, I don't know the laws about that, but it strikes me as unhealthy for minimal worth, but possibly illegal. And I think that might be the reason that Bill Shein had such a quick stay at the Office of Communications.
That's a nice way to put it, a quick stay. Let's just say Bill Shein led Fox's news programming for a dozen years, and then he moved over and became director of communications and deputy chief of staff at the White House. So you can't get any more involved than Bill Shein at both levels, frankly. Go ahead. Sorry.
And that's exactly why I think the lawyers on hand, some of the cooler heads we hope that are prevailing in the White House, said it's time to move on, Bill. And the same thing happened with Heather Nauert, except the pretext of her leaving was the nanny that apparently did not have citizenship papers and was working as an undocumented alien, as I believe. Heather Nauert, who was supposed to come over to work in the White House.
And
Phil?
I'm a little bit less familiar with the movement, but to me that does sound like some kind of inbreeding situation where they're not getting a lot of fresh ideas and other important concepts moving around in there. Dr. Davey made an interesting comment a while ago about reality show narratives, as if we're kind of getting a reality show narrative. And from what I can pick up from all the movement between White House and Fox, to me it looks kind of like one of these reality show narratives. And I start thinking about the shadows in the wall on Plato's cave. Well, they're not the actual puppets or the characters, but they're keeping people entertained. And that's pretty much my relationship with that kind of movie is, oh, that looks like something I saw in Plato's cave the other day.
Exactly. And you wonder to what extent is that a distraction from the real business of Washington. We have 2 million civil servants who've been told that they're part of the deep state by Steve Bannon. And that's a worry.
Well, let's talk about the so we've said, okay, the director of communication at the White House is, of course, the director of programming or at communications at Fox. So then we have some evidence that Donald Trump tweets on what he watches on Fox News. We've been told that Donald Trump spends up to 6 hours a day on what's been called executive time, most of which is spent watching TV. Much of that TV is Fox. And then some fairly well-documented cases where he seems to, you know, be tweeting while he's watching Fox and tweeting what's going on there. What is that? What in the world is that about? This is how does the president get his news? I think that's the question. And does that raise a potential problem for the country? How concerned should we be about this? Let me follow that up by saying that Donald Trump has widely been it's been reported that he is less attentive to intelligence briefings and more likely to get his cues from what he hears on Fox. Is that an issue? I mean, Am I the only one that thinks that's an issue?
No, I do too. I was looking over at Phil and seeing if he wanted to go first.
Oh, okay. So we're wondering if getting news from television and tweeting and whatnot is something to be concerned about versus where traditionally presidents and most people.
Well, this would be building on the echo chamber thing you talked about, the over reliance on a news source as opposed to official sources.
Okay. Yeah, no, that definitely looks kind of echo chambery to me. I also wonder, we've had several conversations in the past, Bill Davey, about the tweeting being sort of the circus that's covering up whatever's going on for real in the background. So I'm not familiar enough with what's actually going on, what kind of meetings are being held, or what the executive time really is. So I guess my best answer that I can come up with is I just don't know at this time.
Well, my take on it is he ran as an outsider, and a lot of people run for office as outsiders, but he has entered the office and maintained his outsider status. I think we have to believe that he honestly distrusts members of the government, the federal bureaucracy, and that he has given his heart and soul to Rupert Murdoch and the News Corporation because he feels that they are loyal, and we know how important that is to him.
Okay.
And he doesn't feel like he has to threaten them, which we have heard is part of his inner workings with his own people. If you believe anything that's been written out of the three books, including the one by Woodward, Fear, where he goes into detail on the moments when he berated his own commanding generals.
Well, Hannity said specifically, as I recall, that he talked to Trump after nearly every show. So Sean Hannity records a show, and the next thing you know, he's on the phone with Donald Trump talking about what the show was on the show. I mean, that's extraordinary.
That takes the Washington apparatus and renders it sort of moot and transfers the power to a private corporation. I don't think you can read it any other way. And is that a worry to democracy? Yes, of course it is. It's what we have feared when we say oligopoly.
Yeah, the oligarch thing.
Well, one of the funny things about that was that Donald Trump essentially books himself on Fox by calling up Fox and Friends and kind of appearing, right? So some have said, you know, is Trump a participant in the Fox lineup, and should he get billing? Or should Sean Hannity get billing in the Trump lineup? Recently, Sean Hannity showed up at a Trump rally and did an interview with Trump where it appeared very much that they were kind of both egging on the crowd and trading bon mots, you know.
And he got a slap on the wrist when he returned to Fox News because I think they do have some sort of standards and practices that would frown upon even their entertainment division, which Sean Hannity claims to be. At the same time, he also claims to be a breaking news anchor, and he comes up with stories that are entirely suspect that are used to discredit the rivals of Donald Trump.
Let's build on that corporation thing. There is some indication that Trump has Fox's back. Gary Cohn, the economic advisor to Trump, apparently said that he was told by Trump to block a deal. That was the deal, AT&T's attempt to purchase Time Warner. It was a deal that Fox saw as hurting its competitiveness, and that supposedly Trump told Cohen to block that deal. That deal was subsequently blocked. So many people have seen that as prima facie evidence that the Trump administration is intervening on the side of Fox in economic disputes where typically administrations don't go. Oftentimes those media conversations have to do about other issues, competitiveness and things like that.
That's where we look at something that is tangibly it is a conflict of interest. First time in 40 years, the Department of Justice has intervened, first time in 40 years, on a proposed merger between AT&T and Time Warner. Now, just to make it clear for everyone, Time Warner owns CNN, the sworn enemy of Donald Trump, or at least you would believe that from the president's actions against Jim Acosta. However, never before has the Department of Justice tried to block a merger, especially under a Republican president that seems to love corporate marriages of this magnitude. And it goes first to a lawsuit, then it's turned down, goes to appeal, is turned down. The DOJ gets defeated twice in its attempt to block the merger. It's now going through AT&T and Time Warner will become one entity. And yes, that does bode ill for Rupert Murdoch and the favored Fox News Corporation, because it gives CNN access through AT&T to lots of subscribers, lots of viewers, lots of audience members they didn't have before. So conflict of interest has to come to mind.
There's also so if Trump has Fox's back, Fox apparently has Trump's back, as there was a story with a reporter, a Fox reporter, Diana Falzone, who had the Stormy Daniels story. Since March 16, before the presidential election, of course, she wanted to get it on the air as a good reporter. She was told, reports say she was told, well, good job, but Rupert really wants Trump to win, so we're just going to sit on this story. So the story was killed. You're both professional journalists. What do you think about that?
I'm a little bit troubled by Falzone's story simply because she did not get confirmation from was it Lee Courtright, one of the people who is in charge of Fox Digital, and she quotes, and he claims that she misquoted him, and specifically he goes on to the New York Post and says, as head of Fox Digital, I saw the Stormy Daniels story coming, and the problem was she was peddling it to several news organizations, and the facts were not holding up to the type of scrutiny we give any of these stories. So the Falzone, who also was relieved of her duties because of a personal illness, says, well, it was a catch and kill. But she's not really supported in that opinion, at least by the people in Fox. So that part of the story, I don't know well enough. I don't know who Stormy Daniels was saying what to. But
right. So there may be a backstory there. It may not be as simple. Let's open up another can of worms. And one of them is the diminishing amount of regular news on the White House coming out through normal channels. Sarah Sanders. The number of press conferences seems to be diminishing to maybe once a month. The State Department under Mike Pompeo has almost quit having any kind of briefings. Interviews seem to be done on Fox News, and that seems to be where you hear about the nation's business. What's the danger here when you get this kind of what's been called narrow casting?
To me, it looks like kind of a threat to foundation of democracy. I mean, we're supposed to have like a free and open society so that we can debate things in the public sphere. It looks like we're not being as informed as we need to be to make proper decisions based on governance and how we take care of ourselves.
Well, I think you would have to say the idea of a press conference is that everybody gets to ask questions. Who's asking questions now?
The friends of the president and whoever interviews.
The friends of the president. So that's not what we would consider to be the most open format. Well, anyway, we've been talking this morning to Dr. Bill Davey and Dr. Philip Madison about some troubling news of the relationship, tight relationship between Fox News and the Trump administration. Thanks for joining us.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
Join me, Megan Brown, for On Card, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. right here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles.
Tell your story, but I'd rather not say.
Next time on Hearts of Space, the vast floating worlds of ambient electronics. With music by Svernute Johansson and David Helpling, Telemere, Michael Neal, Radiant Mind and Steve Roach, Michael Stearns, and more. I'm Stephen Hill, a program called Expanse on the next Hearts of Space.
coming up later tonight at 11 here on KRVS.